Hey there, welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out.
Yes.
I'm Robert Winters.
I'm Judy Nathans. It's August
28th.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's a hot day.
And it's nice and cool in here. Hot day. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right.
So so let's see, what's happening around town? I think we're not going to be here next week.
Right, because it's primary day.
It is primary day.
So please go out and vote. And it's the day after Labor Day. And anything else? I'm taking a class, so I'm not going
to
be here then.
Well, you know, the thing is that on the civic front, Cambridge sort of goes to bed a little bit in the summertime.
Absolutely, right.
But come September, and September's coming up real fast, everything kind of gets jazzed up.
When does school, it doesn't start on Tuesday, does it start Wednesday or Thursday?
It depends.
It never usually starts a day after Labor,
since I teach, at both ends of the street, I can say that Harvard classes start Tuesday.
I'm talking about the high school.
Oh, the high school?
Public schools.
I think it's right after Labor Day.
It is? The next day, Tuesday?
I think so, yeah. Actually, I know it is because everybody was complaining because the timing of the primary as being the day after Labor Day.
Right, but I think that the argument on the other side was that if they did it Thursday, which I think is when, that it would interfere with school openings. So I don't know.
Well, I think they always do it on Tuesdays. So, but the thing
I'm not talking about the primary. I'm talking about
the
schools.
I was at the election commission last week, and they were very concerned of getting their election workers all informed
because of the 4th. Absolutely.
Going to be conflicts with parents and, you know, on first day of classes and then to have election day. And the polls are in quite a few of the schools, so there's going to be
some conflicts. All right, I'm just going to look it up while we're, just curious myself.
All right.
We can go back to what, do we need to look at something right away?
Well, I think we do want to talk a little bit about some of the elections.
So yes, absolutely. All right, so we can look at that. All right, let me just get back to your site.
All right. So first off, let's just be clear. So the primary day is
Tuesday
September 4th. Mm-hmm. Which is next Tuesday,
right.
And polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Right.
You
had to have been registered.
You have to be a registered voter.
We don't have same-day registration.
And the basic rules, and somebody actually corrected me about this today, and I'm grateful
corrected
for that.
Corrected you?
Well, the thing is that I remember there were people who I know who were either unenrolled or registered in one party, and what they would do is they would be unenrolled, register for in a particular party primary, and then on the way out the poll,
they're supposed to pick up another form.
They would fill out a form basically saying, I would like to become now unenrolled.
But if they didn't,
I think it became, for example, pull a Democratic primary ballot, then you'd be a Democrat.
Right.
But apparently that's not true.
Oh, good.
And I somehow think it used to be true, but it
no, it was, because I remember they said you have to go back and change, otherwise you're going to always be listed as a Democrat.
Right.
So you can do it now
So the thing is that, I was alerted to the fact from the Secretary of State's page that in fact voting as an, if you're an unenrolled voter and you vote a particular party's primary, it does not enroll you in that party.
Okay.
So so news to me, you know.
All right. But does that mean you can go to the general election? Well, you can go to the general
election
and vote for anything you want.
Yeah.
But could you vote for a different lieutenant general? No, you have to to vote for the one going with the candidate, right?
You gotta you can't cross parties, right?
That's what I'm saying. But if you were unenrolled.
If you're unenrolled.
No, in the primaries I understand that. You have to get one or the other.
Right. But in the general election, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, of course.
So you could vote for a Democratic lieutenant.
Right. So this is really just to select who the party designees are going to be for the November election.
Right.
One thing, several things to say. One is that the for the primary, there is no early voting. So you can still vote absentee.
Yeah, and I know people I met that have already done that.
I know a lot of people are going to vote absentee, but if you do so, the deadline is this Friday to apply for absentee ballot. So I think,
or to go into the election office.
Right. So the thing is, city offices usually close at noon on Friday, but for election commission will be open till 5. I think it's 5. It could be even later, but I think
it's
5 just to be
it
sure.
It is Labor Day weekend, so it's really nice of them to stay open till 5.
Right, exactly. So so then you could do absentee voting if you want. There's also some opportunity for voting right there, right?
Well, that's what I know people have done. So could you do that? I mean, you don't have to say, look, I'm not going to be here or something. You could just go there and vote?
I know the rules were changing. I can't remember whether the state legislature's action is in effect that sort of made it so that it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, I don't think they asked.
I don't think they really care because it's a formality anyway.
Right.
Now, come the November election, then there's going to be the full 2 weeks of early voting, which was very popular in the presidential election last time around.
And they're going to have it in this one.
Yeah, so that was state law mandated that for early voting, I think cities and towns can implement it in various ways.
Right.
I don't think they're obliged to give like a full 10 days of early voting, though maybe they are. But the
and
thing
in every precinct that they would normally vote in?
No, there are, I believe, just
so
like it was
last time.
That would
be really too expensive.
Right. I mean, it was some proposal from a city councilor a couple of years ago to want to do it at every precinct, which was a little silly.
It's just
not feasible.
Yeah.
So, and it is, this is, there is a cost associated with this.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the thing is the early voting will be in, I believe, 5 locations. I won't name them here right now because it's confusing because it's not until late October.
And you'll have that on your site
once
you get there.
Oh, yeah, right. But there will be plenty of opportunities, like last time. And the funny thing about it, when we did it in the last round, I guess it was the presidential election, must have been, that there was so many people actually lining up to do early voting.
We know why.
Why?
Well, I know I did it with my daughter because we wanted to go out and campaign
for
Hillary.
So, yeah, but I think there were a lot of people who just, they were fearful that they were going to be such big lines on election day.
That's a good point, too. But a lot of people did it because they knew they wanted to work the poll, whatever.
Great reason for doing so.
Yeah.
But the thing is that so many people voted early voting that when I went to vote on election day, it was like no lines at all.
That's true. You're right.
I just breathed through. So thank
you
very much.
Well, that was also the first
time
they had done early voting.
So I like to think early voting was implemented for my sake.
Oh, yeah. But that was the first time, right?
I think it was the first time.
Yeah, so I think it was a novel. I shouldn't say it's a novelty. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, there are some who are advocating that we should have early voting for municipal elections, but honestly...
Oh, that's crazy.
I think it's kind of crazy and unnecessary. The numbers simply don't warrant it.
No.
You're
not that important. I'm sorry.
And you can also vote absentee anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that accommodates pretty much everybody just fine.
Or go in like the other, go into the election commission and say, I'm not going to be right again.
And unlike a state election, the state general election, or the federal election, there's no reimbursement if the city were to do early voting. So it's basically a big expense.
No, I think the thing they need to work on, which I know is partly some of the issues in the election of the Secretary of State, is same-day registration.
Well, the thing
17
is,
states have it.
Right, and the current Secretary of State actually advocates for it, but the thing is it's
he
it's
says
it
comes through the legislature?
That's exactly right. The thing is that most election laws are part of Chapter 43 or whatever.
So he can't do anything just on his own, like...
The Secretary of State can advocate and has for various changes.
Absolutely. But apparently, his opponent keeps saying he's backpedaled on that, but I don't know. I don't think
that's really true. So anyway, early voting will happen in November, but just show up on Tuesday or vote absentee.
Yeah, I know it's a day after Labor Day, but most of you will be here, and from 7 to 8 is 13 hours.
Yeah, and if you can't work it out there, then file for absentee. Piece of cake.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so should we look at some of the
let's talk
a little
bit about here. Okay, so the thing is that I was curious because I was starting to see some ad for somebody who was running for governor. I said, what party? I don't think he even mentioned what party in the ad.
Oh.
Turns out he was looking for the Republican nomination.
Oh, right.
But he didn't even, I don't think he even said it in the ad. And I said, well, who is running and for what seat? So what I grabbed information from the Cambridge Election Commission website. And just sort of threw it together into a...
And before you go on to that, you have on here a link. It says, check your voter registration.
Yeah.
You can do that on your site.
This basically...
This links you to the state?
This goes through the state.
Okay.
The thing is that, I have to say it was Secretary Galvin actually implemented a statewide voter database. So the thing is, if you were to go that, it'll just take you to the state website. You just punch in your information. You actually have to put in a birth date because just want you.
And where do I vote is also through the state or is that through the city?
It is through the state.
Okay.
And it'll just tell you what part.
I'm not going to do that now, but that's such a great thing
to
do.
I got my card in the mail yesterday from the city about what poll I have to go to. I'm 6'1", right?
Polling place,
Polling place right there. Now, many of the seats, many of the elections that are up for grabs in the primary, at least, are, first off, they're unchallenged, which is sad.
Right.
But the thing is,
it's more than usual, though.
And right, so yeah. So let's just sort of walk through the particulars.
Sure.
So for senator in Congress, it's Elizabeth Warren is the sole Democratic nominee. And on the Republican side, it's Jeff Deal, John Kingston, and Beth Lindstrom. John Kingston is the guy who's been running the ads.
Oh, gosh, about the Iowa hot dog.
The Iowa corn dog.
Yeah, meanwhile, he just throws away the in the garbage. He doesn't even compost
right,
it.
Right, right.
But that's me.
Right. So I think he's just trying to, I mean.
He's got lots of money, I think.
Right. I think it's a relatively low turnout for the Republican primary.
Right.
Most seats, they're not even running candidates, so he's probably hoping to get the blessing so that he can
but
go.
But this Beth Joyce Lindstrom, wasn't she the head of or the Republican Party?
I believe that's exactly
like that?
Right.
I mean, she's
yeah.
probably more legitimate than these other two. I don't know.
Maybe so, but the thing is so that's why I think Kingston is arguing he's the outsider.
Oh, here we go.
Right.
Yeah, we know what they're.
Now for governor.
Governor, that's the real interesting one. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we just dispense with the Republican one. It's it's Charlie Baker. Scott Lively's not going anywhere. But the thing is that there actually is a choice to be made there.
Right.
The Libertarians, by the way, I only listed it for comedy's sake. It's really only one candidate for one position, namely auditor. Otherwise, they offered nobody for anything. But I figured since there are three choices.
Oh, I see you have that debt. So no, there's no Green Party candidates, at least not in this primary.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
By the way, there's a certain number of votes or percentage of votes you have to get in a general election or a state election to retain your party status so that you can basically put up a candidate without somebody having to gather a billion signatures or
something.
And
what is that?
Not sure.
Okay.
I think it's got to get 1% or 3% or something. So some parties actually will run candidates solely for the purpose of getting 3% of the vote to continue their status. So maybe that's actually what's happening in this case.
Under governor for Democratic, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a contest. I mean, most of these things are completely no contest, but on governor, it's Gonzalez versus Massey. Gonzalez, Who got the Globe nominee endorsement?
They did not.
They haven't stated yet?
No, what they did is they ran two side-by-side articles about both of them in either Sunday's or yesterday's.
Yeah.
Very good profiles.
So
but I don't think they've endorsed any yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No,
But
they have made some, but not for governor.
Right. But the thing is, there are strong constituencies for both Gonzalez and Bob Massey.
It might have been for Jay Gonzalez, I think. Don't quote me on that. Yeah. Okay.
The Our Revolution type of groups.
Yeah, they're definitely
Bernie
with Bob
people
Massey.
Seem to
yeah.
be with Massey, though I know some prominent Sanders acolytes who are actually okay with Gonzalez. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
But
now,
he's considered by some to be more establishment, but. And,
yeah.
You know. Okay.
Now on Lieutenant Governor's side, it's Quentin Palfrey versus our own Cambridge's own Jimmy Tingle.
Yes, who's amazing, really nice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and again, not to be politicizing here too much, but you know, Jimmy lives down the street from me.
Yeah.
Or at least he grew up down the street from me.
Yes.
And great guy, so you know.
Great family, yeah.
Honestly, and I've told people this, is of all the candidates, the only one who kind of gets me at least interested is Jimmy Tingle.
Oh yeah, he's very persuasive and
exactly. And on
I don't even
governor,
know who Quentin Palfrey is. Do you?
Yeah, I do actually. He's got he's got a really strong resume as a candidate. He's worked.
What's he done before?
He's worked sort of in technical things in background. So he was a big gung ho Obama guy. I think he might have worked in the administration a little bit.
Huh.
So he's got the good CV.
Mm.
You know, and Tingle, I think, has the greater personal appeal.
Yes.
Right, I think that's fair to say. So you kind of, in a way, how that election goes will be.
Well, it's
interesting.
I've seen both his poster or his sign next to Bob Massey in some places, and also I've seen it next to Jay Gonzalez in other places, because he talked last night. Mark McGovern had a thing at.
Right, there is certainly an argument to be made that.
So I think that people would be happy with him.
The gubernatorial election is so heavily leaning toward Baker that maybe by having somebody like a Jimmy Tingle who has a lot of personal appeal might actually be helpful for promoting the gubernatorial candidate for the Democrats.
He's very charismatic.
At least that's somewhat.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, on Attorney
General,
we don't really have to go through all of these here because most of these are really going to be effectively no contest. But
except for Secretary of State.
All right, so Moore Healey for the Attorney General and then a couple of the Republicans over there. Secretary of State is very much a contested election.
Mm-hmm.
The party convention gave,
right.
I think it was about 55% for Zakim, so that was a very well-organized party convention presence.
How many people does that represent? How many people?
Very
there?
Few, actually. The convention is probably
yeah, that's what
in
I want
the,
to know. You were there, 1,000. Right?
Yeah, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, Gallivan, I don't think really. Went whole hog for it until maybe at the end.
Right.
I think he was a little bothered by the fact that he didn't get the party nomination.
Right.
But, you know, there
sure.
is a little bit of a movement in this and other races to sort of throw out the incumbents. But there
yeah.
seems to be a little bit of a pushback about that now because Zakim was very aggressive, maybe to the point of being obnoxious in some of the primaries because I think Galvin was sort of polling well ahead of Zakim. So what you do when you feel like you're way behind is you, you know, throw the Hail Marys a bit. And
well, Galvin actually did some of that, too, and bringing up all the voting stuff when he was, like, 17 or 18. Or whenever
think,
you could
I think,
I don't
know. You know, it's, I guess it's a chicken and egg
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
but
right.
Zakim's been basically making a lot of accusations toward Bill Galvin. So he basically said, okay, you want to fight? We'll
okay.
fight.
Okay.
Right?
But
so
he's, since then, out. Done more of what he was going, what he would do in office. So
right.
he was, I heard him last night. He
and,
was more impressive.
Not
than
that newspaper endorsements matter all that much.
I know,
but the Herald went for Zakim and the Boston
the,
went
wait,
for Galvin.
Oh, I did not know that. The Herald went for Zakim? The Herald?
Yeah, I can't explain it.
Really? That's
you know.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing. Again, most of these other ones are kind of...
well, no, not down to my district.
Right. So,
that's
so all right,
crucial.
So Jeff Goldberg, Suzanne Bell
yeah.
for treasurer and auditor. But then
all right.
when you get down into the reps, and I put
yeah.
in here, this is, again, it's up on a website, but
uh-huh.
it's these are the ones that are not all citywide. So, for
no,
example...
No, but it's a good chunk of parts of
right,
Cambridge.
There are, Cambridge
yeah.
actually has about half and half
right.
Capilano's district and Catherine
right.
Clark's district. I'm in Catherine Clark's district.
Right.
And that's a big, that's getting a lot of attention is the Capilano versus Presley
oh
contest.
My gosh.
Right. And,
it's a lot. There's things going on. I just got an email that she's having visibility things with her, I think, all in Central Square all this week. In fact, at 5:30
yeah.
tonight, they're in front of Starbucks.
Right. But there's some prominent
yeah.
people have now come out for Capilano, including
I've been
Representative Kennedy.
For Capilano. Yes.
Yeah. So so the thing is that the polling,
hard.
For whatever
yeah.
word that's worth,
Have you seen polling on this?
Capuano's been well ahead, which I
well,
think explains a little bit of the
so was Hillary.
I know.
So you gotta be careful.
Definitely here.
Yeah.
Most of the other ones are relatively uninteresting. In fact, I believe as far as the state senate and state reps, everybody's unopposed except for Marjorie Decker, who's being
yeah, that's a local
by
right?
Leslie Phillips,
she,
right?
Yeah, that's I didn't realize.
But
oh, the district attorney is an interesting one.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah.
right. So the very last one.
We do vote
in
that.
Year.
We vote for that because we're middle six.
Yeah. So Marion Ryan is the incumbent.
Yeah.
She originally was appointed, but then she won fair and square in the last election.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna Padalano has been challenging. She has a lot of strong backers and, you know, including a lot of friends of mine. So.
Oh, really? Because she also, like,
yeah.
Seems to the. Our revolution people seem to be adopting her a little.
I think so. I personally kind of lean toward Ryan.
Do you?
And by the way, Marion Ryan also is from Cambridge originally. So
ah.
Anyway,
okay.
Worth mentioning. So.
All right. Thank you.
So anyway, that's all the politics here. So whatever you vote whatever you want, but vote.
But vote.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And tell your friends to vote.
Yeah, right. Definitely do that. And I just wish we were in a state where there were at least a little bit more contest. You know. You know, we don't even have contested primaries, and then come the November election, the Democrats are just running unopposed.
But maybe
so,
that's because we just have two parties. Is that true in other states, though? Have
no,
you really looked at other states?
Most other places, it's not
contested.
Nearly so lopsided.
Really?
As that, you know, but the thing is, you can't blame a Republican for not running in an election that they're going to get beat so
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, there's just
so
not that many of them.
You need to get a little bit of parity before there's enough incentive for somebody
to I think
to
that's why
it.
That... We have elected Republican governors in the past because it's some way to have that balance.
There is a mindset.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly have
yeah.
occasionally subscribed to that.
Yeah.
I'll admit
I have voted
that
for
it's
Republican
actually
governors.
It's not a bad thing
yeah.
to have
yeah.
a Republican. You know, if you believe in the United States Constitution and checks and balances,
and yeah.
if you've got sort of a one-party state, it's maybe not such a bad thing to have somebody from the other party there to basically hold the one party in check. Truth is that a lot of the gubernatorial vetoes are overridden by the legislature anyway because
yeah.
it's so lopsided.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's just some way of keeping a little bit of control in there. You know, but anyway, vote who you like, you know, but just do it. Right?
Well, vote who you also do a little research.
Do a little research.
Yeah,
I
mean,
think
this,
it's,
you know, oh,
idea.
I could have a beer with them. You know, that's not always.
I know. And don't just believe what the political.
And try
ads
to go
say.
Beyond identity politics, too. I know it's hard, but boy, it's really. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a big thing, actually. If you look at, because I'm on various mailing lists for Democracy, what's it called? Democracy for America, DFA, the Democratic Party, whatever. You know, trying to, there's a lot of push, I think, for candidates to sort of be more representative, either racially, religiously,
age-wise,
age-wise,
gender,
or whatever.
And race.
And that's a great thing, because we want representativeness.
Yes.
I'm not a person who's very easily sold on the notion I should vote for somebody specifically
because
of their identity.
Just because they're younger and
but
they represent,
the ultimate goal of having better representation is a worthy goal.
Yeah.
But I'm still voting for who I think is the best person regardless.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we'll see. But this is not just something specific to Massachusetts.
No.
This is really all across the country. You know, we'll see. See how it plays out.
It'll be very interesting to see, because also just to watch the country, because there's a lot of races going on around the country. Actually, there's some primaries today, but there's some next week that are going to be interesting, governor races and stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
Georgia is a big one, although she's got an uphill
battle.
Stacey Abrams. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see how it plays out. You know, you know, I figure with the sort of the Trump reaction, you know, and the growing of the resistance. That can go one of two ways. At some point, if you don't get a certain amount of electoral victories, like victories in the midterm elections, after a while, people start to lose spirit, and then they're a little less inclined to vote. So this is actually a pretty crucial election.
It is, and it can't just be, I forget which one said it last night. I think it might have been Jimmy Tingle, but or Jay Gonzalez maybe, but you just can't keep using Trump in every other sentence.
Yeah.
It's really about other things, too. So, and it's important, because otherwise you're going to, it's not the way,
Most, for example, of what a state legislature will do, or even what a governor does, is somewhat independent of federal policy. Obviously, there's some glaring exceptions to that.
Right.
But, you know, you still have to vote for the governor, because he's got to govern the state, you know, and vote for your state reps, because funding for schools or various policies and things here are very usually typically state. Irregardless of what's happening at the federal level. So, anyway.
So, what else in this last five and a half minutes we've got?
Talk
four
a little
and
bit
minutes.
About insects, okay?
Oh, yes.
All right,
it made it on the news today that.
So I got the word about a week or so ago that, in fact, there was an infestation of the emerald. Ash
bush, right here. I put it up on your thing.
Yeah. So we'll sort of.
I don't even know what it looks like
here. The Cambridge Chronicle today or yesterday had images that actually showed what the borer actually looks like.
Okay.
And also what the effect on the trees is, which is something I was actually going to steal that and put it in here, but I've neglected to do so. This is something that's actually of importance to me, because I have a very large ash tree in my yard.
Oh.
So I sent a message to the city, and I don't think they've announced it yet, but I asked, well, where have the, there were two findings.
Yeah, that's just recently.
It was
Cambridge.
Actually, the word came from the DCR.
Right.
But in fact, there were I think the city of Cambridge has had about 14 traps out just monitoring the situation, and they got two positives for the emerald ash borer. One was in Raymond Park.
Oh.
And the other one was in Ringefield.
Oh, so basically North Cambridge.
North and West Cambridge, okay?
Well, Raymond is more north.
So, you know, I'm in mid-Cambridge, so my first thought was, okay, well, we're not here yet. But
how many ash trees are there in
I think
Cambridge?
It's, if you ranked in terms of most common trees, ash is about number 6 on the list.
Okay.
So I don't know how many trees that represents, but it's substantial. You know, and honestly, if you had a die-off of some mature ash trees, that will make the big argument, the whole kerfuffle about losing a tree or two in Inman Square, look like chump change.
Okay, so remind me, what were the trees along Memorial Drive years ago that got
They were English plane trees that everybody called sycamores.
Okay, so they were not ash trees. Okay.
No. So anyway, I think it's out around Worcester. There was a complete die-off, and they actually had to go out and just kill off all these trees and mulch them up. So you know, that could happen in Cambridge, you know. The way I hear it is if once this starts, it just continues.
And where do they think it came from? Is it from global
don't know,
shipments?
Really.
Or, I mean, is it a beetle? It's a beetle.
The threat's been around for a bunch of years. Some people are actually trying to warn the city to really take better preventive measures.
Okay.
I forget exactly where this...
But is it a beetle? Is it like a...
I think it's originally... There was an Asian long-horned beetle. I don't know if that's the same as this. I think it's a different beetle, so
yeah.
I'm not quite sure where this one originally came from. But the thing is, it's going to be substantial. And for people like me who actually... I was thinking about, all right, I've got some branches of an ash tree leaning on my roof. I have to have it trimmed. Now I'm thinking,
should I trim it, or should I
just have the tree taken out? And I, you know,
that's
kind of, honestly, I'm having to think hard about it because it's going to be difficult to do and probably expensive. They probably have to bring in one of those gigantic cranes to do it. But it's going to affect me personally, I think, before all is said and done.
Right, sure.
So anyway, keep an eye out. There are some preventative measures. There are.
It says it in this article.
Yeah, there are some.
Triazin.
Yeah, triazin that you know the city's been actually using it for the city trees. So one thing you can do is try to do a little bit of prevention on this. You know, I'm always a little skeptical about how effective those treatments are, but maybe they work miracles. So anyway, you should find out about it. Talk to an arborist if you have an ash tree.
Right,
because I think otherwise it's going to affect you. And I heard once it starts, it's about a 3-year period after which the tree dies. And ash trees are types where branches will start falling. So there's actually damage that can happen.
Is there a point of no return? When do you have to start?
I think it's once it's infested, you're done. Pretty much,
you
should.
But you just said 3 years.
From start to death of tree. So.
Right. I'm just, okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.
Okay.